Good morning, everybody, and let us give thanks to the Lord for this new day He's given us, a day to rejoice, a day to be glad in it, and a day just to be thankful and contemplate and remember how well the Lord is keeping us, preserving us, protecting us, keeping us healthy, keeping us whole, continuously providing for us each day the things that we have need of. And it's just so good to know that we do have a Heavenly Father who looks out for all of the needful things in our lives. And He also continues to bless us with wonderful little nuggets of gold all through the week. And each of us, when we all come back together, we'll have many testimonies, I'm sure, of all the good things that the Lord has done and continues to do. And before we go any further, I personally would like to recognize all the moms and grandmoms here in our congregation and for the wonderful jobs that the ministries actually that you cover each and every day as moms and grandmothers and being involved with your grandchildren and your children and all the young moms who find themselves now at home with all their children all day long and now having to become teachers. But I'm sure that many of them will teach greater values than those that they will get in school. So, Father, thank you for all the moms today as Mother's Day. And we thank you for your blessing upon them and just to honor them today. And we will let you decide how you honor them and lift them up. But we just bring them before you today with thanksgiving for our moms and for those that are among us, everywhere, moms everywhere today. And Lord, thank you. Thank you today for your word as we cover a new topic today. We thank you that our hearts are open and reachable and teachable. Thank you that you increase our measure of understanding and discernment and wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding as well and revelation. So we thank you as we spend this time together this morning that it will be a fruitful time and we will all be glad and thankful that we can continue to come together for the sharing of your word that ministers life to each of us and gives us hope and encouragement, because your word is life, your word is light, your word is the truth, and there is no greater truth than your word. And so, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, the title of our message to share together today is a question. It's something that I thought of during the week. It just right out of nowhere it came. Who are we? And who do we identify with? And this is only a question that each of us can answer for ourselves, but yet collectively, it's a really big question. And before we were saved, there were many of us who we really didn't know who we were. And today, even in our keeping our ears open to the lost around us, there are many, they don't know who they are. They don't know who they identify with. They don't know. You'll hear phrases like, I've been on a long journey to find myself. And that's kind of sad, because if you don't know who you are, I don't know any journey that's going to take you to know who you are except the journey to the cross, and then you'll find yourself in Christ. And there are those who don't know who or what, even their gender. And this is really kind of sad when you don't even know what gender you are. And how sad that is, because that's going to lead to a life of real turmoil until it's settled who you are. I could say some things that would be very blunt, but I won't. I just won't. But we all can look back to Adam and Eve, and that ends all the questions right there. God made male and He made female, man and woman, and that's where it all started, that's where it is, and that's where it will always be. But many of the people who say these things, they're void of the knowledge of the truth of God's word. So even when we were not saved, we can't go around now and fault people for not knowing things, because there were some things that we didn't even know ourselves. But now we do. And so it's with these premises in mind that I want to talk a bit about who are we now that we're saved. Who are we? Whose are we? Just as a reminder. And it starts with the banner over here on the side of the wall over here. It says 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And this is really a truth of the word that is so absolute. How many times have you and I heard different messages, different pastors, different ministers, and continuously they just keep saying, we're nothing more than old sinners saved by grace. And that kind of rubs me in my spirit a little bit. It has a grating feeling, like, why would they keep confessing who they used to be instead of confessing who they are now because of the work of Christ? We just got to watch what we say and make sure that if we're going to declare a truth like that, it better be in line with the word. And so let's look at this 2 Corinthians 5:17 a little. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. The old you and I died the day that we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. And I don't know if you realize, I went to my own death and funeral. I was there when it happened, and so were you when it happened for you. And you were also raised up to walk in newness of life. Newness in life means you have a new life now. Your old identity of being lost, unsaved, not knowing these truths now, didn't know them then. So the scripture deals with our old identity. Our old identity was, whether we realized it or not, we were lost, we were not saved, we were void of the Holy Spirit, we had no relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we just mostly knew unsaved people, and that's who we hung out with, because we had that in common. But now that's gone to the Christian. There is no identity to be held onto from before Christ. That's who we used to be. I jokingly talk about my hippy-dippy-dope days, because that was a big portion of my life. I don't refer to it as something I am anymore. I refer to it as, that's who I was before I got saved, and that was part of my identity. I hung around with people of like minds, like activities, like passions, of being addicted to drugs and alcohol and the party rock and roll lifestyle. That was my old identity. But now I'm in Christ, I can't relate to that anymore, because that's not who I am now. So I can't go around and just keep confessing that I'm a drug addict, that I'm an alcoholic, because Christ undid that at the cross the day I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And the old sin nature died when Christ went to the cross and was resurrected. When I came to the cross, the old sin nature died, the sin nature of Adam that every one of us were born again with. In Psalm 58, verse 3, this is so true. And just think about when your children were born and when they were really, really young. Listen to what David said. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And that's why we as parents need to teach our children right from wrong. It is our responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It's ours as moms and dads. And how quick a child, from the time it's born, how quickly it learns to manipulate and control its parents. My goodness, they scream and squawk and holler every time they want something, and as soon as you hear that voice, you drop everything and you run, and it isn't long. And it's amazing, our fingers grow longer, that they have more finger to wrap around them and can make us be like little puppets to run for their every need. And they learn that and develop that over the course of time. But it's just interesting how how the Holy Spirit gave David that revelation. And I know that he was referring, of course, to the original sin of Adam, and we're all born of that seed. But now we're born again. We're born of the seed of Christ. We were knowingly or unknowingly still under the power of Satan. The Bible teaches us that Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of the unsaved. He's not the god of the saved. He's under our feet, defeated. A life, in many cases of people, the religious works of trying to please God. Well, I didn't have that problem. I didn't even know if there was a God, so I didn't waste my time doing things to try to please him. In fact, I really didn't care. But that was part of the old nature before Christ. And so, looking through the scriptures, we see that the scribes and Pharisees were also very much in places of authority to make others live the same life. The religious works of trying to please God, we see a lot about self-righteousness in the scriptures, how we do all these good works so that God will show us favor. But there's a problem with that. There are 613 commandments under the law. And so we look back in retrospect and see how foolish it was that if we keep 10, or maybe we keep one or two, we're going to skate by and God is going to show us special favor. But men under the old covenant were saved by keeping the law. However, once a person has sinned, he's under the penalty of the law, and his righteousness is not sufficient to justify him before God. In other words, if you keep one part of that law, you have to keep all of the others. And if you've broken one, you've broken them all. And there is no way possible for any person to keep all the law and therefore attain righteousness by God's standard of righteousness. It just can't be done. And that's why the law worked a curse. The law was given for two reasons: to show men the righteousness of God, or to reveal what God considered to be righteous, one who could keep all the law and did keep it all. And the other purpose of the law was as a schoolmaster to teach us that we needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And you'll find those scripture references in Galatians chapter 3, and you can read about the law versus grace. And since all have sinned, the whole world is guilty before God, and it takes a righteousness apart from law-keeping to do this. And that's why we need to be born again, born of the Spirit. Also, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about our old relationship with the world. All of our unsaved friends, all of our unsaved family, we didn't know that there was another family. And so we did well with who we had, what we had, the people that were in and out of our lives. And that suddenly we get saved. Now we have a whole new identity with the family of God. Our values have changed. Our morals have changed. We're people of hope now. We're people of promise. We're people of thanksgiving. We tend to look to the Lord as the provider of everything instead of ourselves and our works and what we could do. So there's been a big, big change that happened when a person becomes born again. He or she should no longer go around and saying, "I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." No, that's who you used to be. That's who I used to be. But that's not true now. And I would really like to see more people stop saying that. I'd like to hear them start saying who they are in Christ. And our old mindsets. I don't know about any of you sitting here, but my mindset was I would wake up every morning and say, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit, maybe a lot, but I would wake up every morning and say, "What kind of, you know, what's going to happen today?" Because I didn't think that anything good was going to happen. I didn't recognize, I didn't see a lot of good that was going to happen in the day. But now I see great things happening every day, and I wake up in the morning and I hear all the bad news, just like probably most of you. And if that's where my mind was, or stays, that's all I would see. But I need to refresh my mind. I need to wash my mind with the Word, because it washes out and purges out all of those thoughts and that old mindset that nothing's ever going to get any better, things are always going to be the same. No, they're not. Only if you choose to let it. So now we have the mind of Christ, the Word tells us. We have the capacity to think the thoughts of the Lord, not out of pride, but just because it's the truth. These are some things that made the difference when we got born again. That's part of the new creation. We now have the mind of Christ. And not only that, but God took all of our sins, put them on Jesus, and Jesus took them and paid the price by offering himself on the cross. And why did he do that? Because none of us could be righteous of ourselves. This was your plan of salvation, and it's a beautiful plan. We don't go around always speaking of what sinners we are. We can say what we used to be in our testimonies, but it's healthy for us to begin to see ourselves as the Word sees us. And here's another truth about 2 Corinthians 5:17. Were you not reformed or simply refurbished? How many times out of ignorance, when New Year's came along, we were beginning to make a list of all of our New Year's resolutions. And people would look at us and say, boy, they sure turned over a new leaf. Well, because that's all we knew how to do. We would try something, and to think it was going to improve our lives, there might have been a healthy change for a while, and then before long we would revert back to the way we lived, the way we spoke, the way we saw everything. But no, we're not just reformed, and we're not simply refurbished. It's like you can take an old car to a car dealer and they put new seats in it and put new things in it, but it's still the same old car with new parts. And it's not the same. We are made completely new by our union with Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have his very nature and character and all of his attributes abiding within us. And they don't come and go. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go in our lives. In the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit came, anointed certain ones, and for that period of time, and when God's purpose for their lives with that anointing was finished, the anointing left, and the Spirit never indwelled anybody then. But he does now. And so we have all the attributes of our Heavenly Father abiding on the inside of us. Romans 5:1. This is a wonderful scripture, and I do hope that you'll continue to write these down, look them up, get some different translations, and study these, because it's really going to help you. And if it helps you, it'll help somebody else, because when you hear people, you know we're all ministers of the gospel, every one of us. And that's why I like to present these, because if we don't need it today, we may know somebody that does, and now we have some more good seed in our seed bag to sow when people come to us with needs. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I talked about peace a few weeks ago, and we used the scripture with the premise of and the topic of his peace abiding within us. But justified is a very interesting word. It's a short word, and it means acquitted of sin and declared righteous and blameless before God. So, if you are justified, and the word says you are, how can you continue to say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace? There is no sin left. It's gone. It's under the blood of Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. It will never be. And it is something that God said he throws in the sea of forgetfulness. He also has thrown our sins as far as the east is from the west. He looks upon them no more. Justified is a shortened word meaning just as if I never sinned. That's how God sees each and every believer in the body of Christ. Yes, we still have issues with our flesh. We still have issues with our mind. But the sin nature is gone. We don't have the sin nature anymore. We have the nature of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, not the first Adam. We have the new nature. And that's so precious. that's such a truth that you can just go forward with that. If you continue to say that you're just a sinner saved by grace, and every time you sin, you can justify it and you don't feel bad about it because you're confessing that that's who you are. But if you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, that's the truth. And we don't say those things in a prideful way. We say them in a very meaningful way because that's who our Father says we are. And it's so important to be in agreement with Him and His Word, because those are the words that change our lives. Those are the words that give us hope and promise. If we can just continually confess, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, while we keep getting older and we keep sinning, and it's okay because that's who we are. No. I challenge people to stop saying that. And I challenge them to get into the Word and take these words to heart. Every time I hear that, it makes me cringe. Acquitted of sin. If you had all these charges against you and you were in jail and I came to visit you on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I'd have to leave here to go come and see you because you were in jail. You have a rap sheet. There's a list of the charges that were filed against you, and those facts were brought before a court and a jury, and they heard the evidence that was presented to them, and you were found guilty, and that's why you're now in jail. But maybe you had a really good attorney, and he got your case reopened, and a new judge, and a new trial, and they acquitted you of all the charges. Would you continue to go around and tell everybody, I'm a criminal, I'm a criminal, I'm a criminal? I should be in jail, I should be in jail, I should be in jail. It's exactly the same thing. All the charges that were against us have been acquitted by our Heavenly Father through putting all of those charges on Christ. He took our rap sheet. And we don't have, there's no list anymore. There is nothing that God's going to look at in our past that's going to bring His judgment against us. Why? Because Jesus bore all of that in our place, and God poured out His judgment upon His own Son. And He bore the price. He bore the penalty for each and every one of us. So we have to get out of that mindset of always continually confessing that we're all sinners saved by grace. And I know I've said that about 10 times already, but that's almost how many times I hear it on Christian radio and Christian TV. I have a little more time to listen to those things now, but I'm beginning to wonder, maybe I should listen to them less. Because this is what I hear a lot, and I just want to address it today. And there are people now who are listening to these recordings, not just us among ourselves, but there are others too who are. And so I really do hope and trust that God will take these and maybe shed some light in the hearts of people and give them a revelation and an understanding that their lives can be radically changed by just simply seeing themselves in the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things are become new. So why do we want to hold on to the old? And listen to this Romans 5:1, some notes about that. Our new life, the new life in Christ, our faith in Jesus, transfers God's righteousness to us. And He now declares us flawless in His eyes. And He's the one that counts. This means that we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. That's why this is so important to get this truth down on the inside of each of us. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21, just four verses down, same chapter. Read it and see for yourselves. It says this, for He, meaning God, made Him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, or to be sin on our behalf, to be the one who took our sins, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So there's an exchange. Jesus exchanged our sins for His righteousness. And that is a tremendous truth. It's almost an unbelievable thing that he would do such a thing. But it's the only way to achieve true righteousness and holiness, consecration before the Lord. We've been sanctified, set apart, made holy. These are all truths of the new man in Christ, not the old sinner, not the old man. And Paul made that very clear in his letters also. He talked about what he used to be, who he used to be. He talked about all of us and what we did and who we used to be. But then he always ends the word, but God, who is rich in mercy. You have to figure the but God. When God intervened in our lives, everything changed. And this 2 Corinthians 5:21 is probably not only my estimation of it, but in the hearts and minds of a lot of others who have a lot more insight and wisdom than I do. This one verse is perhaps the greatest verse in the New Testament to describe our salvation through the sinless Savior and his substitutionary death on the cross. A wonderful divine exchange took place at the cross. All of our sins were left there. Our guilt was removed and forever gone. And we walked away with all of God's righteousness. Now, can you handle that? Can you believe that for you today? Is that really true? Is that part of who you are? It's part of who I am. And it's part of who you are. And I really hope that you'll really get this. Every believer today possesses the perfect and complete righteousness of Christ. We are seen by the Father as righteous in his Son. So when he sees the blood that Jesus took and applied on the mercy seat in heaven, he doesn't see us as sinners. He doesn't see us as lost. He doesn't see us as hopeless. He sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood is what made us righteous. It's what made us holy. It's what made us pure. It's what made us flawless and without blemish and wrinkle. And so it's a mindful thing that we need to stop looking around in the body of Christ and seeing everybody's faults when they're washed in the same blood as you and I, and we need to start seeing them as our blood-bought brothers and sisters. Paul said, I know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We all have flaws in our flesh, but to see the Spirit man is far greater. Excuse me, doing these nonstop makes my throat dry. I got to get a drink. Living water from the well downstairs. Ah, the taste that refreshes. We're blessed with excellent water here. All right, Colossians 1:13. This is also a scripture that I've referred to quite a few times, but it's relevant to what we're talking about today. Colossians 1:13, it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, if we weren't delivered from the authority of the power of darkness, how could we live in the kingdom? How could we live in the kingdom of God? Something had to happen to enable us to be translated or moved, if you will, into the kingdom of God. Something had to happen with the old sin nature that was always under the control of Satan. Something had to happen. Something took place. What took place was the day you got born again. John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and in that conversation, he told Nicodemus that there needs to be a natural birth and there needs to be a spiritual birth. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And there's a big distinguishing made that Jesus pointed that out to him. We all have to be born a natural person, and then we're born of the Spirit, which becomes the new creation in Christ. Whenever we confess that we're sinners saved by grace, I'm coming to the end of this, we are denigrating the work of the cross and making Christ's sacrifice insufficient. It's like we're subconsciously making an effort that there needs to be more done because I'm just a sinner. I know I'm saved, but I have this, I'm just a sinner. And what we're really doing is we're saying that Jesus didn't do enough and that God's got to come up with a new plan to save just me because I'm worse than everybody else. Oh, you thought you sinned. Ha ha, wait till you hear my rap sheet. And we've just got to stop saying that. And when you hear other people saying it, please lovingly remind them to read these scriptures and see if perhaps if you can change one person's mind who stands before his congregation and continues to bash them and put them all down. That's very wrong. And that's not going to happen here. I'm going to be truthful and tell you who you are, what you are, who your identity is, so that you can see it for yourselves and get really rooted and grounded in that truth, and that you quit beating yourself up every time you do something wrong or you get angry and start calling yourself all your favorite names. I have one, and I'm sure that many of you do as well. We need to stop that, because every time we do, we're taking away from and not realizing the power of the blood, the power of the cross. And as long as we continue to say we're sinners, then we'll justify doing it. But if we confess we're the righteousness of God, we will be more consistent to resist sin when it tempts us. Not in a prideful way, but in a truthful way, and according to the scriptures. So let's make it a point today. Let's challenge ourselves. If we've had these thoughts, or we've spoken these things over ourselves, to the point where it clouds out the truth of the word, let's make a decision today that in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to break that confession off of my lips, and I'm going to do my absolute best with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I am no longer going to confess to anyone that I'm a sinner saved by grace. I will confess I was, but I'm not going to continue to confess that I still am, because that's not my nature anymore. And it's not yours either. So together, let's thank the Lord today for this word. Let us thank Him for what He did at Calvary's cross for each one of us. Let us thank Him together that we're indeed new creations in Christ, and that the past is all gone, the things of the past. When somebody dies, we say they passed away. Well, we all died. We passed away. The old you died. But praise the Lord, all things became new when He raised us back up to walk in newness of life as a new creation in Christ. Let us go out of here today thinking about those things instead of the old, because the old is gone and the new has come. And I can tell you personally, I absolutely love the new far greater than anything I ever knew could exist of the past. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, Lord, that it is absolutely true. Your word is the highest and purest form of truth that there is. And we thank You today that we do indeed know who we are. And if we didn't, we surely do now. And now we've heard it, and we're responsible for what we've heard to make any adjustments that we need to in our personal thinking or our attitudes about ourselves or about each other, and that we have a deeper respect for the work of the cross and to not undo it with our words. We just thank You today for revelation knowledge. We thank You for discernment. We thank You for understanding. And we thank You as we go about the rest of the day that we will think about these things, and that it indeed, over the course of time, cause us to see everything in a new way. It's not new to You because you wrote it, but it may be new to some of us. And so, Lord, we just thank You today, and may Your blessing continue to be on our lives as You pour out Your mercy and Your compassion and Your grace and Your goodness each and every day. We thank You that You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We thank You that You're El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, the all-sufficient one, and that You continue to always be who You are. But we can still call You Abba Father, our dear Daddy God. And we thank You. It's a joy and a privilege to come to You as Your children and to just present ourselves to You, washed and clean and holy and acceptable in the Beloved, just as You made us, just as You designed Your plan of salvation, and that today we are living witnesses and a living testimony, each one of our lives, of the marvelous power of Your grace and Your heart of goodness. And thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, so much. for blessing each of us continuously. Every day is a new day, and it's a good day. In Jesus' name, amen.